Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Wizards home opener tonight at Capital One Arena, 7 o'clock tip. You can hear it right here on your new flagship home for Washington Wizards basketball, the Team 980. They beat Toronto the other night 98-83. The head coach of your Washington Wizards is Wes Unsell Jr. He joins us right now on our BetQL guest hotline. And Wes, I want to get to the game the other night and the game tonight. But what an honor for your father last night. Wes Unseld Sr. Had a bust unveiled at the arena last night, so you'll be able to see that when you attend anything at Capital One Arena. Your father, you know, the iconic figure in the history of Bullets Wizards basketball, and one of the true iconic figures really in the history of this town in terms of sports goes. I know you know that. What was it like for you and your family last night?
Oh, it was incredible. You know, it's it just speaks to his legacy, what he's meant to the franchise, what he's meant to the city. And I can't be thankful enough for the organization, for Mr. Leones, to put this together and to honor him in this way.
You know, you're 46 years old, so you were very young when your father was finishing up his career. Do you have memories of him as a player?
You know, I have very few. I think I was about 5 when he retired. So the memories were more of his routine, you know, as a player. Those afternoons after shoot-around, the pregame meals, our trips to the arena, playing in the family room with the other kids, but very limited memories as far as the basketball.
Well, I have very, very distinct memories. I was just, I grew up such a fan of the team and still am. And those days, Wes, of, you know, trekking out to the Capitol Center with my dad to watch your dad and the Big E and Bobby D and those teams that were so great during that era were so much fun. And, you know, one of the things, and I think I mentioned this on the show the other day, the NBA's unveiling its 75th anniversary team, and they're doing it 25 players at a time, and they unveiled their first 25 the other night, and Elvin Hayes was on it, and your dad was part of the 50, as he should have been. They better not take anybody off that first 50 from 1996. I hope these are just 25 additions, because your dad is clearly one of the greatest 75 players in the history of the game. Have you?
No, thank you. I appreciate it.
I mean, did you know that they were doing this, and have you paid attention to it at all?
No, I knew they were unveiling the team. I did not know, you know, where he would stand or if he'd fall in the, you know, top 50, top 25. So, you know, as soon as it came out, people were flooding my inbox with messages, and obviously that corresponded with, you know, the other night's win in Toronto. So it was quite a day.
Did you, one more question about your dad, because he was such an enforcer. He was an incredible, you know, the outlet pass, great rebounder, one of the great screeners in the history of the game. When you talked to him about his game, did you ever rib him about anything like free throw shooting or anything like that?
Honestly, no. You know, I think he always played a selfless game.
Yeah.
Anything he could do to help his teammates, that was his mindset. So it wasn't about, you know, the stats or his numbers. He would do anything and everything to try to find a way to help his team win. And doing that, I think, you know, sometimes you take a back seat. I used to, in high school, you know, try to criticize him about his shooting, and he would take me out there every now and then and outshoot me every time. I just couldn't figure out how.
Well, he made the biggest ones ever, which came in Game 7 in Seattle. He was at the line late in that game, and
right.
You know, it was a 3-for-make-2. It was a 3-for-2 situation back then. Can you imagine that nowadays? and he came through and he knocked him down, and the rest was history. That was the one and only NBA title in this town. And by the way, for those that don't remember Wes. Wes Sr. was not only the Rookie of the Year in 1969, he was also the league MVP in the same year, his rookie year. All right, let's talk about your team and the game the other night. Impressive, you know, game. I know Toronto's missing Siakam and they're down a little bit, but give me just a couple of your big takeaways from the win over Toronto on Wednesday night.
You know, I got to give our guys a lot of credit. You know, it's a tough environment to play in. It felt like a playoff atmosphere. And, you know, we haven't played great throughout the preseason. So to see us respond and really dial into the defense early in the game, that kind of set the tone for us, gave us an opportunity to hold the lead, made enough shots, obviously made enough plays late to make sure we secured the win. But kudos go to the guys in that locker room. They really were locked in as far as their responsibilities.
I think one of the big things for a lot of us is just, will this team be a much better defensive team? It'd be hard not to be better than it's been recently. But why will this team be a better defensive team than it's been in the past?
Well, I hope the guys who have played here, been here, as well as the newcomers, understand the value in the defense. There's no secret. You know, I think teams that play both sides of the ball, make defense a priority, give themselves a chance to win nightly. You're not always going to make shots. But if you can hang your hat on your defense, I think you'll stay in games and give you an opportunity to keep things close.
Who's your best defender?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, nightly I've seen it be a different guy. And I give Brad a lot of credit. He's shown glimpses that, you know, he can be a lot better than, you know, I think, what people view him as. He's taken that responsibility and owns it. So I think, you know, the accountability across the group, you know, with Kyle, with Trez, with Daniel Gafford, you know, Aaron Holiday, Howell Neto, we have a number of guys who can change the complexion of the game on that end of the floor. So I think it's when it comes together, you see it coalesce. It's great to watch.
We're talking to Wes Unseld Jr., the head coach of the Wizards. They host a home opener tonight against the Pacers. Get out to see them after their win the other night against Toronto. When you have a legitimate shot-blocking center like you do in Gafford, you know, the true rim protector is a shot blocker anyway. Do you coach to be more aggressive and take more chances defensively on the perimeter?
Not in general. I think, you know, it's we always want to make sure we're being solid, being smart. It gives you the flexibility, knowing that you have help behind you, a guy who can kind of clean up mistakes. But our whole mindset is trust your help, don't rely on it. And I think, you know, Daniel's ability to alter plays, the block shots, protect the rim, it's just an added bonus. Very few guys have that ability.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not exaggerating, right? Gafford's, the way people view Gafford, opponents viewed Gafford, the way players play as they approach the paint, he is considered to be, you know, a true shot-blocking rim protector, right, in this league, a high-level one.
No, he is, and I think the one thing he's got to make sure that his activity is tremendous, his energy level, just make sure he's playing with purpose. Because he'll just fly around. That youthful energy is great. But he, oftentimes, I think, takes himself out of position unnecessarily. You know, and he's doing it. He's coming from a good place where he's just trying to help his teammates. He's trying to make a play. But just feeling the game a little bit, understanding, you know, are we over-helping? Are we in the right position? But to have him back there really gives us a sense of comfort.
So one more thing about – actually two more things about the game the other night and then something about tonight's game. You had a ton of turnovers in the game. I would imagine that was one of the things you talked about. You know, it's great to win, but there's also opportunities for you to say, hey, look, we got to do things better. I thought it was very frenetic at times the other night. I think the opener, people are always revved up a little bit more, and a lot of the turnovers were careless at times. So this has been a team in the past that has been careless with the basketball. How important is that, and what kind of teaching moment was it, coaching moment from the game the other night?
Well, sadly, it wasn't new. You know, we understand the value of each possession, you know, because one possession a quarter can mean a dramatic difference in the result. So it's important that we value the ball. We don't beat ourselves, especially on the road. But we've seen that in the preseason where teams amp up the pressure. They get into us a little bit. And we start to get a little careless with the ball. And that's where, you know, that mindset of let's not get bored with success. We've had a nice job of, you know, taking care of it in stretches. Just make sure we continue to play the right way, create our leads, to screen. Don't take possessions off.
Yeah, I mean, you just said something, and it was so true the other night. I mean, Toronto, for his, you know, horrifically as they shot the ball, and a lot of that was due to the defense that you guys played, they really got up into your ball handlers, whether it was Neto when he was out there, Bradley, Dinwiddie especially. They were up in passing lanes. So, you know, is that the ball's got to move quicker? Are you going to use perhaps more ball screens to kind of create some space for your ball handlers? Or should these ball handlers, whomever they are, Dinwiddie, Beal, Neto when he's in the game, Holiday when he's in the game, are they just going to have to turn and go downhill and beat people?
It's a little bit of all of it. And I think it's important for our guys to see how the defense is guarding us, you know, whether they're switching. And, you know, a team like that with length and size, you got to get off of it early. Can't play in the crowd. You know, they're a heavy, heavy shrink, very paint-dominant team, but they fly around too. So the more we can get that team playing second, third side, now all of a sudden it starts to break down. If we're playing static possessions, one pass, zero pass possessions, you got nine guys looking at you. So that bodes well for the defense. The more we can move them, open up the floor, now it gives us an opportunity to play in space.
What's the status of Rui right now?
Right now he's out of protocol, so he's able to do individual workouts. We're testing his conditioning, getting him on the floor, seeing where he's at. And we'll slowly start to ramp him up and implement him as we go along.
What did you make of Harrell's debut the other night as a Wizard?
He was great. His energy is infectious. He gets you second possessions. He's on the glass, makes the hustle plays. His talk, I think, is really intimidating at times. So I love it. You know, I think it gives this group an identity, certainly galvanizes us at times, you know, because those are momentum-shifting plays.
How's Kispert doing? He didn't get any minutes the other night. How's he doing?
Corey's been terrific. Yeah, he had a great preseason. You know, and a lot of times it's tough for young players. You're trying to crack the rotation, especially with a group this deep. You know, we can play 10, 11 guys, and it's really a good problem to have. So Corey's going to find his way. You know, I talked to him yesterday. I told him to stay ready, and I know he will. He's a pro. He's mature. But he's going to help us, and I know he's going to make an impact at some point for us.
All right, tell me about the game tonight, the Pacers tonight. What are the challenges and what are the keys to getting a home opening win?
Well, they're another team that's going to make things tough for us, you know, on the offensive end. You know, they've got guards who are going to climb into you. They're physical, aggressive. Their front line is a problem. Sabonis and Turner, you know, both of them can stretch the defense, can play inside out. And then obviously we got to take care of the glass. Those are all things that, you know, are controllable. But if we don't do it, we're in for a tough night.
The Wizards played the Pacers, remember, in that play-in game to get into that series against the Sixers last year, and it was one of their better performances of the year. Great to catch up with you. I really appreciate the time. Best of luck tonight, Wes. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Kevin.
Wes Unseld Jr., we obviously recorded that late yesterday because that 75-year anniversary team was completed and unveiled last night, and Wes Unseld Sr. was on it. So two Wizards / Bullets organization players, Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld, on the All-NBA 75th anniversary team, which was unveiled. Lots of people thinking Kyrie Irving should have been on the team, and he wasn't. I don't have any issue with him not being on the team. He hasn't played long enough. Maybe he can be on the 100-year team 25 years from now, if he plays again. Up next, we will have our legal contributor, Neil in Rockville, call in to just sum up real quickly what this congressional request of the NFL and the Washington football team is about. That's next. Then Ben Standing will be with us at 7:35. Ron Rivera will be our guest at 8. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app. I want to tell you about Window Nation's deal right now. They've got their Fall is Calling sale. All right, this is the deal that they offer every year before winter starts that gives you an opportunity to buy two, get two free with no limit. So if you need 8 windows, you'll get 4 of them for free. You pay 0% for 24 months, 2 full years, so you won't be paying any interest until 2023. You don't have to put any money down. You don't have to make a payment until 2023. So not one nickel spent, not one percentage of interest accrued, and you've got brand new windows. It's a deal you shouldn't pass on, but really you shouldn't pass on it because Window Nation's the best. They're going to deliver top-of-the-line product. They use only top-of-the-line materials. They use things like mold spray and Quad Max sealant. What are those things? Those are the toughest things against all weather conditions. Extreme heat, extreme cold. They keep your windows healthy. They're not going to crack. They seal failures, all of those things. They do windows. This is what Window Nation does. They're the experts. They installed 200,000 windows last year alone. That was 40 times more than the average window company. 96% of them required no follow-up service. I've gotten windows from Window Nation in the past. Family members, friends, many listeners, never one complaint. I've endorsed Window Nation for up to coming up on 12 years, and I wouldn't have done it this long if I didn't like them and have complete trust in them. Call them at 866-90-NATION. Go to windownation.com. They'll give you a free estimate. Free estimate, all right? Nothing to lose. Buy two, get two free. No limit, no money down, no payments, no interest for 24 months. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Ron Rivera is going to be with us at 8. Ben Standing before that. We've got smell test picks. We've got Washington wins if. We've got a Packers update from the Athletics reporter covering Green Bay. All of that before the end of the show. And predictions on the game. One of the big stories since the end of the show yesterday was the story related to the two House Democrats pushing the NFL to provide Congress with findings of Beth Wilkinson's investigation into the Washington football team's workplace. It's a big reveal or update to the story. Where does it go from here? Neil in Rockville is our legal contributor to this show, one of the finest Montgomery County attorneys there is. So, and a big sports fan, and has been following this detail by detail since the initial reports from the Washington Post back in July of 2020. All right, real quickly, explain what this is. What is Congress asking for? And why?
Okay, so Congress generally can't just ask for documents and things like that, people. But there are oversight committees, and one of the oversight committees, or two of the oversight committees, can have to deal with civil rights and employee relations. The hook that really is in the letter is the following. It says the committee is seeking to fully understand this workplace conduct and the league's response, which will help inform legislative efforts to address toxic work environments and workplace investigation process, strengthen protections for women in the workplace, and address the use of non-disclosure agreements to prevent the disclosure of unlawful practices, including sexual harassment. There has to be a purpose for a congressional inquiry, and this is sort of the way that they get into it. Now, with regards to all those other emails and in the broad scope of their request, that's not going to work. It's going to ultimately have to be tailored. This is a letter requesting. It's not a subpoena. It's not a formal request by the committee. They're just sort of setting up the fact that they want to get into this. The reason they want to get into this is they cite all the news articles and things like that. So they use that as sort of the basis for sending the request to the NFL. I'll just note that there's a lot of talk, and you all have talked about it a lot, is the use of non-disclosure agreements. And they say they want it so those can't sort of get in the way of civil rights investigations and the like. It's been a longstanding practice that non-disclosure agreements cannot prevent an employee from filing with the EEOC, which is the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which is tasked with investigating civil rights violations in the workplace. Also important is the NFL is a private company, not even a public company, and so the scope of information that they can get from private companies is significantly lessened, though there could ultimately be a call down the road, maybe for Goodell or even Wilkinson possibly to appear before Congress. But with the ability of filing protective orders and things like that, even if it got to a subpoena, you're probably not going to see anything for at least 18 months if there is any response.
What will the league's response to this be? They've been given a deadline of November 4th.
The response will be they will call and they will respectfully decline providing this information. They might say, we'd be happy to talk with you about this. We'd be happy to talk with you, give you generalities of information. But with regard to the documents and the specifics of the Wilkinson report and all the investigations and the personal emails between, Gruden and all this other, the NFL employees, that's not going to be coming, more likely than not, without a congressional subpoena. And then each of the individuals probably have the rights to oppose that, as they are individualized emails and have privacy rights themselves.
Neil, remember that the Beth Wilkinson report was not a written report. It was presented orally. I'm right about that, aren't I?
Oh, yeah. Oh, so it's much better to report something orally than to put something in writing that can be a document subpoenaed, particularly by Congress.
So isn't their answer initially, we don't have a written report?
Well, there
is no written thing to hand over to you.
Well, that's only with regard to the report. They're asking for every document related to the case, every interview notes and everything like that. Their request is just vast.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's no written report. And the only way they can really ever get anything directly, I believe, from Wilkinson, unless they, the Congress subpoenas 106.7 the Fan and tries to get a copy of whatever they had, is probably to call Beth Wilkinson before Congress.
You're talking about the report from the junkies about the information that could lead to Snyder's ouster. What about the $1.6 million settlement, the plane ride, the much talked about plane ride, where there was an accusation of sexual misconduct, perhaps with the owner himself? It was settled. She did appear. We did learn. I mean, I had this guy, Will Hobson, on, and I did not know this, but when he was on with me earlier this week, he said that Wilkinson actually did interview that woman that was on the plane that settled for $1.6 million. What's there, and what would Congress be looking for in terms of that information?
First off, when I heard that, I think I texted you immediately and said, that is like actually breaking news, because we had never heard that.
We hadn't heard that.
Because we didn't even think that she had any ability to get hold of that woman and talk to her or the like, which, because it didn't come into play, actually raises some issues about, you know, who the lawsuit and the non-disclosure agreement really, you know, benefited in the long run. But they can probably get the generalities of that as it relates to, you know, civil rights complaints and the like, but that's a private matter between a individual and a corporation, private corporation. Their ability to get into that with any detail would have to be another legal battle in and of itself, right, which probably they won't get.
Lay out just, you know, what's next, where does this go, and ultimately what everybody wants to know is, will Dan Snyder be up there in front of, you know, in a congressional hearing answering questions under oath and potentially losing his football team because of all of this?
99.99% sure he will not be required to appear before Congress, with an additional 99.99% sure chance that he will not lose his football team because of it. The inquiries actually seem more, though the highlighted aspects, because they're in the news, is the Washington football team. But the inquiries in the letter actually seem more critical of the investigation in the NFL culture in general. And that actually is more what the Congress has control over, more than probably the individual actions of individual teams. It looks more like it is with regard to the league than the individual team.
I read this earlier this week, or maybe last week, that the NFL probe into the Panthers back in 2018, into the whole Jerry Richardson situation, the woman who conducted that probe, her name was Mary Jo White, she provided actually a written report, and it may be the reason that they decided, please don't provide us with written reports anymore. We don't want any historical record of what we just paid for. But one of the lead or primary recommendations was for the league to prohibit the use of non-disclosure agreements for their teams. That they should not be able to use NDAs to hide personal conduct, muzzle, you know, potential witnesses, et cetera. And the league completely ignored that request.
Well, there's also, people also need to understand that, particularly is my understanding with employment matters of the individual teams, the NFL is sort of an umbrella organization, and each team in a lot of ways is treated as a separate entity. And mandating non sort of on-field issues with the union and stuff like that, but employment issues to each of the individual teams is not something that is done significantly, and they try and actually stay away from that because they don't want to be sort of controlling of each individual group, because they are, you know, separate entities in and of themselves. So that very well might have been the reason why that was shelved, because I think that would go against their sort of general policy to allow individual teams to act individually when it comes to employment at those non-football related positions.
Okay, so the next step here is for the league to respond to the November 4th deadline, and you believe that they'll respond by saying, thanks, but no thanks, but we will sit down with you and have a conversation with you, but we're not handing any of these notes.
They will respectfully respond that at this time they're not going to provide the requested documentation, but we're happy to meet with you and discuss these issues as they're important to all of us in maintaining a positive culture of our employees.
Lastly, ultimately, all of this is because of what's happened the last 2 weeks. We would not have seen two Democratic congressmen and women step forward and ask for this if we hadn't had the emails that led to the Gruden resignation, which led to all of these exchanges between people like Bruce Allen and Jeff Pasch, in addition to Bruce Allen and John Gruden. And we've been speculating here for a week and a half on the source of the leaks. There certainly is a lot of smoke around Dan Snyder or Dan Snyder's camp being the source of the leaks, because he wanted to see Bruce Allen disparaged in a major way and didn't care what kind of collateral damage was associated with it. He's denied that through an attorney that he was the source of these leaks, or anybody in his camp was the source of these leaks. Just your guess. Who was the source of those leaks? Who leaked the emails?
Who ordered the code red? I think it's someone in the... My guess is it's someone in the NFL offices who was not happy with the way that the NFL offices portrayed it. I don't think it came from our level, because I don't think that Dan and the Washington football team had access to all the non-Washington football team emails. And to my understanding,
they did have access to all the Bruce Allen ones, and those are the only ones that have made the news here.
The Bruce Allen ones when he was employed by Washington.
Right.
But some of those go back to other times when he wasn't employed. And so the 65, that large cache of emails would not have been necessarily, in their possession. I think it was.
Yeah, but the ones that got John Gruden in trouble, and the ones that were correspondence between Bruce and Jeff Pasch, were when Bruce Allen was employed by the team.
Yeah, those were, but they were in the general cache of the larger amounts. I don't think the Washington football team leaked it. I think it came out of the league office.
All right, I got to run. This was helpful as always. I'll talk to you later. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Take care, Kevin.
Ben Standing next. Kevin Sheehan Show. Team 980, the team980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app. Become a weekend warrior at BetMGM. King of the Weekend is a free-to-play challenge where you can win up to $50,000 for correctly picking the highest-scoring pro football teams during the weekend. Simply log into your account and find the King of the Weekend contest in your promotion section. Then pick the six teams you think will score the most points from the selected games. $1,000 will go to the top entry each week, and if you guess all six in the right order, the grand prize of $50,000 could be yours. Plus, hundreds of dollars in free bets will be awarded to players who come close to a perfect score. Go to your account and try the King of the Weekend free-to-play game. New to BetMGM? Well, download the app today and make weekend football even better. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. D.C. and Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? 1-800-522-4700.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Ron Rivera coming up at 8. We'll talk to someone from The Athletic about the Packers at 8:30. I still have to get to some of the keys to a upset win Sunday at Lambeau, and I've got a smell test for you as well. A little bit later on in the show. Ben Standing is our Washington football team insider. He writes for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Ben Standing. Ben joins us Mondays and Fridays during the season and a lot more during the off season. First of all, start with this. Do you think they have a chance Sunday? And give me a prediction.
Well, they are one of the two teams playing. So based on that definition, yes.
Thank you.
You know, if Aaron Rodgers is going to do the Aaron Rodgers things and Washington's defense is going to look like it's been looking, then probably not. I mean, the Vegas line is, well, it was 10, right? But I see it's a bad 8.5.
10.5 at one point or very early, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. I guess I came down a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I would probably feel reasonably comfortable to give the points. I mean, they've lost the last 3 games by double digits, right? So, we talk about what Taylor Heinicke isn't, you know, the offense by and large has been, you know, decent enough. I mean, they only scored 13 last week, of course, which was dismal as the pieces on that side of the ball have been limited by injuries. But ultimately, you know, it, as it has been all year, it kind of comes down to what his defense is. And, you know, I guess you could say that there was a better showing in the first, you know, 2 quarters plus. But, you know, how much of that was Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs just kind of self-sabotage on their end with some of those bizarre turnovers more than just Washington was doing a lot. They still gave up. I mean, in a game in which it sounds like, you know, I think some people think legitimately that they improved, they gave up 500 yards of offense.
Right.
The week before, right, they played the quarterback performance is probably the worst one they faced, and he got 4 touchdowns. So, that's kind of where we're at right now, and we'll just have to see if at what point, you know, the defense actually makes a jump up, instead of we're all just saying, well, I guess that maybe it's going to come at some point.
Real quickly, some of the key players for Sunday who could help, you know, lead a potential competitive game. One of them is Antonio Gibson. What's his status for Sunday?
Yeah, so Scott Turner basically told us yesterday that they're nursing Gibson through practices. He's been pretty limited or not involved in practices for most of the week, the last couple of weeks. And Turner said that, yeah, the goal is just to basically get him to Sunday and kind of go from there. But, you know, it's weird, right? He's looked banged up, you know, for a bit now. And Ron Rivera said at the end of last game, Gibson was struggling, and that's why they went with more McKissick. But, you know, he still, every single game, makes a couple of plays. Right? Oh, wow, okay, that he still looks, you know, got a lot of wiggle, got a lot of burst. He, you know, looks like he could turn the 2-yarder into something a lot bigger at any minute, but sustaining it over 4 quarters is the challenge right now. I mean, they do have another guy in McKissick, so you can always lean on him to varying degrees, but, you know, that's the thing. That, you know, they added Curtis Samuel this offseason to give more help to what they had. Now Samuels hasn't been doing anything. Logan Thomas is out. Gibson is limited. I mean, even McLaurin hasn't practiced the last 2 days, which, you know, I'm sure he'll play on Sunday, but, you know, to what degree is he, you know, close to 100%? So, you know, this is why, you know, we can keep talking about what the offense doesn't have, but at some point it's just, you know, becomes a problem. You just don't have your pieces per usual. But I assume Gibson will be out there. But to, you know, how much work will he get is going to be a big question for sure.
What about either Cosme or Sheriff?
I don't imagine we're going to see either one of them now. Obviously, there's another practice today, but I would assume probably not. It is interesting, right? It's like the one part of the offense where they're missing two starters, and it doesn't feel like a big issue. I'm not saying Wes Schweitzer is Brandon Scherff, but I think he was, to whatever degree you want to give Pro Football Focus some credit for their grades. I think they had Schweitzer either the number one offensive player last week or pretty close. And, you know, we saw Lucas last year, obviously he'd be a pretty solid option. So, you know, I didn't notice anything dramatic last week without those two starters. And considering, you know, where it looks like they're at this week, it wouldn't surprise me. I would imagine that either one of them goes this week and give them a little more rest.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. I thought Schweitzer had a pretty good game. There were a couple of plays on screens where he was really out there and athletic, because Zaire Flowers has been, too. You know, overall, like, if you were to point to one unit on this team that has played well, and by the way, sort of a pleasant surprise, it's the offensive line. I don't think it's even debatable, right?
Yeah, no, I did a story, you know, I think it was before the Saints game about, you know, everybody trying to figure out before the Chiefs game, everybody trying to figure out what's wrong with this team. And my basic answer was, it's not that complicated. All the offseason moves really haven't panned out. And then I was like, well, let's, you know, what player group has surprised us?
Leno and Cosme.
This year? And like, the offensive line is kind of, like you said, you know, and yeah, a few new tackles, you know, Flowers coming back in, and those guys have done a good job. Yeah. I mean, we don't talk about that, which is exactly what you want. You know, I think Heineke's gotten Simpson pretty good time, but generally in the pocket. So yeah, I mean, I think all in all, they've done a good job. You know, and it's to the point of the offensive line. Like, I'm not saying that Schweitzer or somebody like that is as good as Brandon Scherff, but you know, part of the Brandon Scherff, ride is he misses games and you're paying him a lot of money. So if you think you can get, you know, good enough play out of a guy who's going to be out there and cost you a lot less, it's going to make that. I've already assumed Brandon Scherff won't be back next year. And when you go through another reminder of, hey, they can get some decent play from somebody else for a lot less of the cost, I mean, it only, to me, reinforces that idea.
One other thing is, we talked to Ben Standing just on Curtis Samuel. He's not going to play this week. I'm assuming he's not playing this week. Are they just going to hold him off until after the bye and then just try to make a run over the final nine games with him? You know, what is the long-term prognosis with him?
Yeah, we need to get a better I'm sure today we'll ask more from Rivera, because I think last week, I can't remember what day of the week it was, but last week I did ask him, hey, you know, at what point here doesn't it just make sense to maybe shut him down and put him on IR again? You know, just everybody stop sort of, you know, pretending that something is going to happen here quickly, put him on IR, stash him through the bye week or whatever, and then hopefully have you ready 100, you know, as close to 100% as you can be for the second half run. Because right now, like, you know, what's the point? And, you know, he kind of said, well, we'll see what happens. He said that Monday would be a big day, but then obviously, you know, Wednesday was the Dustin Hopkins day. And then most of the questions were about that. Then it was a lot about some Landon Collins things. And then he did talk since. So I think we do need today, especially like if they rule him out officially, which like you said, I imagine they will. I'm sure that comes up again. It really is amazing. I mean, again, not a doctor here, but a groin injury is just not one of the things that you typically think is going to go on forever. And this has been in play since June. So it's really wild that we're here, but here we are.
So Ron Rivera will join us here in about 9 minutes. I record the interview, and I've been up front with everybody about that. We're not doing him live on Friday mornings. I did not ask him about Curtis Samuel, but I did ask him about the Tua Tagovailoa rumors. So you'll hear his answer to that coming up in about 10 minutes. I think one of the interesting things this week has been the Landon Collins thing. And I actually think it got more interesting yesterday with Del Rio's comments, because clearly he doesn't want to talk about Landon Collins at all. And I read some of the quotes last hour. He doesn't, I don't think, want Ron Rivera talking about Landon Collins either. I don't know if you got that sense You were there, you know, you were on the Zoom call with Del Rio, or you were there for it. But Landon Collins is now a linebacker, according to Ron Rivera, for all intents and purposes. And Del Rio didn't really want anybody talking about it. So just give me your overall feelings on the whole Landon Collins saga from this week.
Yeah, I wouldn't put too much into the Del Rio part. Often Ron Rivera will come in, give a very specific answer to a question, then the next day we present what the head coach said to the defensive coordinator, and he just defers back to the coach. He has no interest in, you know, he has no interest in explaining that. We would have very short press conferences, I think, if Jack Del Rio was the head coach. Ron Rivera.
So you think he's doing it because he doesn't think it's his role to answer that, or do you think he's doing it because the way he is, and I've listened to him. I did not listen to yesterday's. I just read the transcript. I think sometimes there's a little bit of an eye roll with we're giving out too much information.
Yeah, that's kind of like, I just think he's not interested. He's a coach who's going to be, you know, more in the Belichickian mold of, I'm not going to say much about anything to anybody here. You guys can keep trying to ask. But I think in this case, there's also deference to what the coach said. No, there have been, because he has done this a few times. And sometimes you look at it like, oh, is he sort of in odds with the coach and doesn't want to say so publicly? But I just sort of, he's done this enough where I just think he's just not the guy who wants to.
Okay. What are your thoughts on Collins? And then what did Collins say yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, if you look at, you know, if you watch the game, if you just think about it logically, every time they go to the sub package, take a linebacker off the field, and they have five defensive backs and three, with three safeties, you know, the two safeties, Curl and McCain, are the guys you're going to play towards the back based on their pass coverage skills. Landon Collins is going to be closer to the line of scrimmage. When he was signed originally, a lot of people said it was too much money for a box safety. This is not a revelation that Landon Collins is better behind the line of scrimmage. And Ron Rivera, I think, is basically just sort of saying, look, here's the reality. This is where we think you're best, and we're just going to say this out loud. Because we need you to do this more, especially, you know, until last week when Jamin Davis showed some growth, they were looking at really like one linebacker in Cole Holcomb that they could trust. And it just made logical sense, you know, that Landon Collins was going to play closer to the line of scrimmage. But then Rivera sort of puts it out there publicly. And I think it was interesting. He did it the same day that they released Dustin Hopkins, which to me was a move as much as trying to send a message, whatever a message you get from releasing a kicker, but that's a whole other story. But I think the Landon Collins thing, I think, was also part of that. But then yesterday we get Landon Collins, and honestly, I thought it was a fascinating 6 minutes that we had with him, because he would at points try to say the right thing. I'm going to do what the team wants. If this is what they need me to do, that's cool. Cam Curl's doing a great job. He should be out there, but he couldn't quite get to the. He couldn't quite, you know, go all the way. The pride definitely kept kicking in. He was pretty defiant and saying, "No, I don't want to be a linebacker. Yes, I absolutely view myself as a safety. This is how I came into this league. This is who I am." It's almost like he's like defining himself as a person, as where he lines up on the field on Sundays. And it was really interesting to hear his view. And you know, he's clearly not thrilled about it, while simultaneously he knows, you know, he's appreciative of his lot in life as an NFL player and what comes with it, and he's happy to be out on the field, but I think he is struggling with the idea that he's not going to be out on the field in the spot he's used to being on the field.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are safeties who play in the box, and then there are positions like he's been lined up in many situations where there's only one other true linebacker on the field, and he's standing next to him, not only in the box, but essentially, you know, in the A-gap almost. So that's playing linebacker, and maybe that's where he's like, I guess I'm okay if you call me a safety in the box, but don't call me a linebacker.
Right, right. I mean, we're basically arguing over labels. Like he is playing a tick over 50% of his snaps in the box this year, according to Pro Football Focus, which is up a little bit from the high 40s he was last year. So it's not like it's like some major difference. But one thing he did point out, which is interesting, is when he's playing safety, he's looking at the world differently. Like he's looking more at, I think I have this right, he's looking more from from like the tackle center. When he's playing linebacker, he's looking at it more from the tight end to the guard. And it just doesn't feel like you know, it's like he stood at the same street corner his entire life, and he looks out to the world from there, and now you've shifted him 10 feet over, and it's thrown him off his kilter. And he doesn't be – I mean, look, there's also some realities, right? He's like a 218-pounder. Now he's having to tangle with offensive linemen a bit more than he did before. He said that they – when he's playing safety, the line is not accounting for him, which makes his world in the box a much different deal. When he's viewed as a linebacker, well, then he is being accounted for, and the big guys are coming his way. So, you know, it makes for a challenging time, I imagine, for him just based on – his size. But look, I mean, here's the reality, right, Kevin? I mean, he's been struggling in pass coverage, and that's no real, we're not really need to hide that. The Chiefs targeted him 10 times in pass coverage last week, completed 7. According to Pro Football Focus, if you look at the yards allowed per catch of the three safeties, he's way over 15, like Cam Curl's around 9. Now, maybe some of that has to do with, you know, yards per attempt, you know, where are the targets, but nonetheless, every week we see teams trying to get Landon Collins deep downfield, and it's worked. And for Washington, you know, if Jamin Davis is going to keep playing, you know, not going to play well, but if he's going to show enough to warrant him being on the field, right, he needs to play. So if he's out there on the field, then what do you do with Landon Collins, right? Does he really want essentially a third linebacker, or does it make more sense to have another corner, another defensive back on the field, a corner, yeah, to give you more pass coverage? And I kind of think we may be seeing not just a position shift, but I wonder if we're going to start seeing a lot less of Landon Collins on the field. Again, it depends on circumstances, but well, I think to me this is kind of what this week signals.
And what the solution to having him on the field less is, too, in terms of players in the box. All right, I got to run. Thanks for doing this. By the way, I didn't get to something that I think everybody should read. Ben wrote extensively about future quarterback paths for Washington. It was well done yesterday. I'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks.
Tip.
Up next, the head coach, Ron Rivera.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.